In week three of The Bachelorette, Charity takes Warwick on a roller coaster ride for a date with nothing but lows. Sean plays Ken to Charity's Barbie, but makes the guys feel like he's playing them. And Braden enjoys home field advantage taking batting practice at Petco Park before Aaron B. takes a swing at him. Did Aaron make the right call, or were his teammates right to take umbrage with him throwing shade? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America.
And Daniel A. Duddy.
Wow. Here we go again. Yep. Wally, thanks for having me on the pod.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. We got another exciting game. First road game of the season. Mm-hmm. Action traveling a little bit south to San Diego. Before we get into all that, I want a little shout out here. A big thank you to Hannah. She joins our patrons over on patreon.com. Woo. For those of you that don't know, that's where you get all exclusive Bachelor Zone content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. So if you enjoy us over here, then you're going to love us over at patreon.com/The Bachelor Zone.
Yeah,
now
like
let's get into all this. Go ahead.
The Oceanside, Ocean Beach, California debate in San Diego. We're going to get into that this week.
Oh, just interesting. Okay.
Just a little teaser for you. If you want to hear a son of San Diego talk shit about the North County of San Diego, stick around. Sign up.
Yeah, this Left Unsaid is going to be a perfect Zach Pike episode. You got all the inside scoop.
Yeah, a lot of San Diego talk.
So let's get into all this action that took place in San Diego with our headlines brought to you by the Padre Swinging Friar on a wingman and a prayer. So what a great couple of days in sports. We have the Home Run Derby and then the MLB All-Star Game in Seattle. And then just a little bit south in San Diego, we have this Barbie-themed group date. And let's start with that. It featured a lot of off-key singing, but seemed to hit all the right notes from an entertainment standpoint. Sean won the Ken contest and in turn the afternoon with Charity. Doten won the group date rose. And several guys delivered in their ISO sets both on the group date and at the ensuing cocktail party. Guys, whose game in this group date setting this week impressed you the most?
I'm going to have to go with Sean, who, while I do think he might be a mid-major player, he definitely separated himself from the other mid-majors. And to me, he reminds me of like Noah during Tayshia's season. Mm. He had no traction, and then he saw an opportunity in the group date, and he made the most of it. And that, to me, is actually one of the hardest things to do in bachelor ball. Is when you don't have an immediate connection, the momentum's against you, the snowball's rolling down the hill. How do you stop it, and how do you push it up to get yourself a fighter's chance? And I think he did that. And right now, is he a top five guy? No. But maybe he's a top six. And that means, you know, that's a week away from being a top five, a week away from being a top four. So
yeah, the AP's got him at number seven this week in the Tuesday morning polls.
Yeah, so he's right there. And that means that, who knows, this could be his game.
Yeah, to me, Sean is like, he's like this year's St. Peter's in the NCAA tournament, where you're probably not going to go all the way. And you know it deep down and everyone knows it. But you just put it all out there on the floor. And he played a hell of a game last night, made some noise early in this tournament. Zach, who impressed you the most?
I think it's got to be Doten coming off. I was worried last week when he had a nice game that it would be an anomaly or like a one-time thing and he would just kind of fall by the wayside. Now's a dangerous time in the season, right? Week two, three, four for all the guys, especially this season where people are getting cut quickly, right? We're losing guys left and right fast to get lost in the spread, you know, just to get lost in the mix with everybody and not shine through. And every one-on-one time he's had with his card last time and with his ID he used last time and this time, just being just a sincere kind of rock of a person to Charity, I'd love to see it. I'm glad to see him doing it.
Yeah, he's a great player with a lot of tricks up his sleeve and a lot in his arsenal, and we're seeing that get unveiled more and more every week. In my mind, first of all, hats off to the Barbie movie for the marketing. They were just all over this episode and did an unbelievable job getting the excitement up for it.
The whole thing. I saw it when they started walking in and it was like, I thought it was, can you feel the love tonight? I'm like, oh, they're going to the San Diego Zoo. And then when Doten was like, it's spelled with a K, I'm like, Barbie. And
Yeah, they nailed the margin of with the group date activity.
Oppenheimer's going to do next week.
Two really big slices of bacon were handed out by Charity last night. First of all, she makes a point of bringing Doten up to her room, where she doesn't offer that to any of the other guys in the second half of the group date. And then during the cocktail party, she makes a point of pulling Joey aside for the first conversation of the night. That combined with the fact that both of those guys are masters at facilitating conversation in the red zone, they make it look so easy, and they make it so easy for Charity. All that combined makes me feel like that they're sort of the Katie and Gabby of this season, where they have the fast track to her heart, the access right now that no one else seems to have. Another thing I really liked about Doten's game is a slight but significant adjustment that he made. And so when he's going on his runs in the end zone, and he had some incredible ones, he wouldn't just say, "That's a big deal to me." He'd say, "That's a big deal to me, Charity. This means a lot to me, Charity." Just that slight adjustment of dropping in her name at the end of the sentence, it makes it a little more romantic, more personal, more emotional. And it's a small thing that he sprinkled in there, but I think it makes a difference, and it shows you what a smart player he is.
I think it's a risky move, honestly, because it can add some gravitas to a conversation. Like, in the wrong hands, it comes off fucking weird, right? Like, you think if, like, Warwick, I mean, we'll talk a lot about Warwick later, but like if a date like that was happening and then all of a sudden he just like, "Hey, Charity, do you want to go here, Charity? Hey, Charity, do you want to," you know what I mean? Like that, just the different intonation of it. He did a good job. I'm agreeing with you, Wally. It seems like I'm disagreeing, but like, but he did a good job of using it.
In the wrong hands, it's either creepy or it sounds like when your parents use your middle name and you're like, "Oh shit, I'm in trouble right now."
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's usually something you do when things are serious and like you're not having a fun conversation, but he used it with aplomb.
Something I loved about what Doten did, I feel like there's little things in his game that... What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. Duddy, we're filming ourselves right now, and Duddy is doing some really amazing duck troll decisions right now.
Well,
he's doing some Dutch angles. He's doing some Dutch angles and whatnot. It's great.
I'm really trying to get a 360 view of this point.
Really David Lynching this situation.
Something I really liked about what Doten was doing was I feel like there's little things in his game that just pop out to me that I go, "Oh, man, I love this. I feel like you could apply to the real game." Like when he called Charity up on that stage, which was also a tremendous move because he talked about how he was not an adequate singer. Right? That was not his strength. Yet,
and that was a running theme throughout that date.
And that sure
he wasn't
was.
Alone.
It turned out that he wasn't alone. But what I loved about what he did was that he said, "I don't care. Charity, I want you up on the stage here with me." But then just this extra added flourish of, "If you want to, if you could be so kind, if you would join me." He didn't say, like, he didn't force her into it. He let her know that, like, "I'd love you up here, but I don't want to put you in a position that makes you feel uncomfortable." He's always attentive to Charity's feelings. And I think that's just such an important thing. That's such an important combination with a guy, for a guy as aggressive and confident as he is. I think it's deadly.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it seemed to me like he understands the point that so many guys in this competition miss so often, is that it's not how well the dog can sing. It's just that the dog is singing its heart out at all and wearing a goofy wig and just having a great, great time out there, not afraid to potentially make a fool of himself. Along those lines, here's a question that came to mind for me earlier today as I was thinking about this episode. So before the date starts, you're in the locker room and you got JoJo and Jordan leading the troops. And then you see the uniforms on the wall, the different Ken outfits from throughout the year. They say go, and it's a foot race to those outfits. What do you guys think is the ideal outfit to run after? And like, if you were in that situation, which outfit would you run after?
I think classic Barbie gives you a big advantage, or classic Ken, excuse me. You know, you're in a suit. It looks like, you know, what you'd wear for a formal occasion. There's some relatability to that. I think there was, the naked Ken. I think John got that one. I think that lends you an angle of humor if you're able to pull that off.
I thought that was such a huge disadvantage, though. He looked like he just robbed a party city.
I think he didn't play his hand well, you know? Like
that's for sure, yeah.
I think that there's I could see a player come out and really work that, you know? I could see a meatball really, really using that to their advantage.
Meatball's born for the meat, for the birthday suit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Meatball's born for the birthday suit. So I would think about my strategy in this split second as I'm doing my, you know, my Sherlock Holmesian calculations. And I think I would also maybe consider the Bad Boy Ken, something like that. Although I like the Bad Boy Ken aesthetic as in theory, but I think their execution of it was also kind of weird. You know, I would have thought it would be like more sunglass focused.
Yeah.
More, instead, it he looked like kind of like hippie Bad Boy.
Yeah. It's too festy. I would go with Mandalorian Ken. that would be my go-to.
I don't know if that was an option.
Oh, I was maybe zoned out for a little bit. Yeah, no, any of them, any of the throwbacky ones, like Duddy was saying, if you look like a, you know, James Bond or Country Club type Ken works.
Mandalorian Ken shows that you're good with kids.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
You see, my first thought was, of course, it's the tuxedo. But then watching Adrian up there, I thought to myself, he's missing the opportunity to make a fool of himself, which is what the crowd is kind of looking for, a willingness to make a fool out of yourself. It you look, when you're in just a tuxedo, you look like kind of a party pooper.
Yeah.
That's why I think like you don't want to be like a Halloween costume, like a John or like what an Aaron B was wearing. But I thought that the outfit that Sean got a hold of, where it's a little bit silly, but you're showing off the muscles and it's easy to whip off the jacket, New Kids on the Block style. I think that for that date, I think that was the perfect outfit.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I don't think you're wrong. I do think it's easy to say it's the perfect outfit considering the six, you know, it won, but
I don't think that's the only reason he won, but I think it helped.
I think he definitely made the most of it. I think there was probably a bevy of outfits like, you know, Denim Ken, where you're showing off a little bit of skin. You're playful, but you also look good. It's also an outfit that ostensibly, you know, theoretically you could wear in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that outfit did do a lot for him.
It's like Oppenheimer Ken.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer.
That was a weird choice to throw in last minute.
The outfit just explodes at the end of the song. Yeah.
Lady Bird Ken.
Yeah, so we got a bunch of Ken outfits and a bunch of Bad But Entertaining singing on this group date. Week three also gave us 2 one-on-one dates. There was Warwick's date at an amusement park that ended up being amusing for all the wrong reasons. So we'll save that for, I'm guessing, Mayor of Choketown later in the show. In the meantime, let's get into this week's events on the Braden Show. He caught a huge break, getting somewhat of an ad hoc hometown date in his native San Diego, during which he performed well, and it seemed like he assuaged most of Charity's doubts about him that she had from last week. But those doubts resurfaced at the ensuing cocktail party when Aaron snitched on Braden for telling the clubhouse that he's skeptical about the process. Guys, what do you make of Aaron's solo attack on Braden this week and the resulting aftermath of it?
I was proud of him. I was talking a lot of shit last week about how he needed to make a move like that, but he needed to get everyone on his side. I don't think he did an adequate job of doing that, obviously, and that's why it failed twice in a row. I think it was good to keep the pressure on next week. Some people would argue he should have taken a couple weeks to build up support and then gone in. But to me, I think it's actually better because it's kind of keeping this rope-a-dope thing happening where every single week Braden's going to have to explain himself. Now, the clubhouse was turning, but the people who were turning were the fucking bunch of fourth and fifth stringers, right? There's people like getting at him that were obviously on the way out, and that's why they were pissed off. It's because they thought like the little bit of time. It's fair game. I had no sympathy for those bench warmers. I was like, that's how they know how the game's played, and they could have easily gone the other way and backed him up and then just nipped it in the bud. And now they got to deal with it week in, week out. So I'm not blaming Aaron for that. He was doing the right thing. His heart was in the right place. It was unfortunate that the team didn't get behind him again.
I hate this move. I so much. Aaron B was in such a good position, right? I understand if he was, you know, he's trying to stay another week. He wants to get on Paradise. But he's someone who has what seemed to be a genuine connection. You know, he had a one-on-one.
Yeah, and he got the first rose in the rose ceremony.
Right, he got the first rose in the rose ceremony, but that was already after he snitched. Mm-hmm. I don't think snitching's ever a good look for you. And I think especially in this case, Charity already knows, you know, the beat on Braden, right? She already has the scouting report twice over every week now. All you're doing is you're adding yourself to the list of snitches and list of people that now Charity wants to prove wrong. So I don't think it was, I don't think it benefited him. I honestly think there's an argument to be made that it benefited Braden. You know, my therapist says that relationships
benefited Braden. Oh,
it benefited Braden because as my therapist says, my old therapist, who I fired. So maybe this isn't good advice, but,
I don't know if fired's the right word. Okay, go on. Sorry.
I'll take it.
Yeah, who I broke up with, sure. But through email, like
gave
a
the heave ho.
No, so strong relationships are built on rift repair, right? Mm. Weak relationships can't have argument because you're afraid that one argument will destroy them. But it's almost like a scar tissue thing. Like, if you can have a relationship where there is a disagreement, you know, there's two people coming from different angles, you talk about it, there's a rift, and then you repair that rift, mm-hmm. that bonds the relationship even tighter. And if every week Charity and Braden are having to rift repair because these other guys mm-hmm. are talking shit about Braden, not things that Braden necessarily would do himself, then I think it's going to only make his armor stronger. And I think the best strategy to getting rid of Braden is to let him hang himself, because I think he would. But when you're doing squacamole and it's not that valid, then I think you're only setting him up to be a martyr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you might have fired that therapist a little bit too early.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know. That's really ironic that you fired someone who gave you that advice.
Well, no, his advice was great, yeah. But he wanted to do improv, so I had to let him go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. He asked me about taking classes at UCB, and I said, listen, I don't care how good a therapist you are.
Scar teaches that. I wish you saw. All right, get out of here.
Yeah, I like that
your therapist was a card-carrying member of Bachelor Nation, and I think she gave you some wise advice here, because this whole rift repair thing, as we mentioned last week, that is exactly how Luke P got to a Final Four that he had no business being anywhere near. I mean, I've said this for a couple weeks now. I am not a Braden fan. I think he's incredibly annoying for several reasons, most of which are self-evident. But in this particular instance, Braden to me only made one slight mistake, and that's with his verbiage. He kept saying, I'm not sure I can do this. What he should have been saying is just make a slight adjustment and say, this is hard for me. When you say this is hard for me, the lead, your teammates, they will give you that all day long and they will sympathize with that. When you start saying, I don't know if I can do this, then that's when the rumblings in the media start up and doubts are planted in the lead's head. And so he did have a misstep there. Aside from that, I was Team Braden with this. I mean, the concerns that Aaron brought to Charity, they were all things that Braden talked with her about already. Like it was nothing new. And what I'm really interested in is the fact that not only was I Team Braden after all this, but the clubhouse seemed to be largely Team Braden as well. And most of the team seemed completely satisfied with just dropping into pre-event coverage and just letting Braden enjoy his rose this week and try to pounce next week instead of pressing on the extremely unlikely chance that Charity reverses her decision, especially given the rapport that she's shown with him already. And then Aaron, I hate this move too. I got to agree with you on this one, Daddy. I hate this move. Just like Adrian last week, the criticism that we gave him, Aaron just flips the bird at the playbook and at his teammates in the game plan and goes on this one-man crusade that blows up in his face. And I mean, in terms of snitching, it's the most elegant job of snitching that I've ever seen, but it was snitching nonetheless. And it was a desperate Hail Mary. And as you can see, it caused more problems than it solved.
This disagreement gives me a funny feeling in my tummy. Methinks me smell a wager, because this is such a clear cut who's right, who's wrong, and we're so divided on it. I think Aaron is going to outlast Braden. I think he's making the right decision, and next week it's all going to come to a head, and he's going to finally show him for the putz that he is. And you guys are thinking everyone's Team Braden now, and I think you're crazy for it. So I want to put a little wager up on the table.
I don't know.
Well, hang on a second, though. I don't like the move Aaron made. I thought that was a bad decision on his part, but I do think Aaron is going to last longer than Braden in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Where, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
all, you know,
it slipped away from me.
Rectangles fingies. And squares, you know, like no it could gold. Still be a bad move, but
no gold for me this time.
Yeah. All sorry. Right. Sorry.
Well, I think he's leaving next week. Do you guys think that?
Braden?
I think he's got another week.
Braden or Aaron?
Braden. I think Aaron's going to do the same thing next week. Like I said, this whole rope-a-dope technique that he's going, or reverse rope-a-dope, I guess you could call it, and just keeping the pressure on the whole time. And I think it's going to pay off next week.
I think maybe I'd give him another week. I'll do that if you want to do that bet.
All right. If Braden goes home next week, Wednesday after we record our Tuesday coverage, you got to go to jiu-jitsu with me and start jiu-jitsu.
I have to start jiu-jitsu.
I'll do a class.
I'll do a class.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you want me to do if Braden is sticking around week 5?
If Braden sticks around week 5, I will have you come to the gym with me.
Okay. Look at this healthy wager.
Yeah.
Healthy, productive wager. Trying to better ourselves with our dumbass things.
I love this. Actually, I had a doctor's appointment earlier today where the doctor's like, everything's good except like you really need to like be less heavy than you are. Uh-huh. So
he's like, you're fat fuck.
Good timing.
Yeah, Jesus. That's funny.
So, Wallet, do you want in on this? Yeah.
You want in on this? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if I'm wrong about this, I will. Actually, there was a guy in the street handing out cards for a jiu-jitsu free class, and I ignored him.
Every jiu-jitsu gym has a thing because of the Gracie Baja gym started as their like it's a cultural thing with jiu-jitsu gyms where you get a free class and they try to hook you. So you can get a free class at any gym you go to, whatever the closest one in Jersey City. I'm sure there's some great Gracie Baja gyms in Jersey City.
Okay. Yeah, he seemed like a good enough guy. All right. So I will do this class. If I lose this bet, if I'm right about this, Zach, I want you to go play pickup basketball.
And then I can't do that. I can't dribble. I can't.
That's what's on the table.
I can go watch pickup basketball. It's just something I couldn't do.
What do you mean you can't do?
Like if I showed up to a pickup basketball game after like 30 seconds of being like, hey, can I play? They'd be like, no, you can't play.
I'm shifting mine.
No,
I'm shifting
that.
Mine no. Because I go all the time, and you know what? I go all the time, and if I feel that way.
If I go with you, I can't show up by myself to a pickup basketball game and be.
Duddy can go with you.
I'll go to one of your pickup games and fail, and that's fine because then it's like, oh, my friend said he wanted to try pickup basketball. I'll be bad at it with you. If I had to like go to a place myself, it'd be too embarrassing.
Yeah,
I can't dribble.
Yeah, I can't dribble either.
Okay.
You can bring a full roster of 12 for all I care, whatever emotional support you need. But just play pickup basketball and then report back.
All right. And you guys have to do jiu-jitsu if Brandon goes home next week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
I think you might surprise people and make a big splash on that basketball court. And speaking of big splashes, oh, you hear that coming? Cannonballs. That's right. This summer, it's not about the size of those cannonballs. It's about making a splash. And you can do that thanks with a little bit of help from our friends at Manscaped. You can prepare for barbecue season by making sure your grill master has the hottest dogs this summer has ever seen. When you're at the cookout, at the beach, wherever you're grilling the meat, let the meat speak for itself with Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0. It's time to get ready and not sweaty. And you can do that by going to manscaped.com and using our special code ZONE3 once you get there for 20% off and free shipping on your order. That's right, 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com and using our code ZONE3.
And now that you can feel safe wearing a low-cut swimsuit without any stragglers peeking out, use Manscaped's liquid formulations, basically the ball freshness version of cracking open a cold one. They've got crop preserver ball deodorant, keeping you cool from sunrise to sunset. With a soothing aloe vera formula, it's the best in the business for below-the-waist freshness.
Mm. And you know what? Right now, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. Baby, that's 20% off with the free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code ZONE3. Manscaped, the perfect way to get your patties sizzling this hot summer. Dogs are ready, boys!
So we're hooking you up with a great deal through our friends at Manscaped. The patrons hooking us up this week. We let you know that the talented Mr. Jose Max Singer was going to be out of town on a vacation, unable to do the fantasy minute for week 3. So we put the rose signal up in the air, called out to the patrons that we needed some help. And the patrons have come through for us. We actually have two who responded this week coming through with the fantasy minute for us. We've got friend of the show, Dylan P., awesome analyst who's been on the show before, and bachelor historian and rules expert, Michael Dunn. They've got, so we got double the minute for you this week. Here they come, starting with Dylan.
Here he comes now, but my Max Singer, he's a fantasy pro. Gonna tell you who's playing for the ring, for the rose, or for the road. And he's got those hot takes and inside scoop that you're gonna need. So Max Singer, who do you like this week in fantasy?
Welcome to this installment of the Fantasy Minute. I'm Dylan, and I'll be this week's stand-in for Max. It's time for the number one source for Bachelor Nation fantasy sports, stats, and analysis. Be sure to play alongside us all season long on the Batch Live app, the only fantasy sports app that lets you decide your very own ring, road, or rose. The field has been narrowing down at a rapid pace, so here are my predictions for who to pick during this roller coaster of a season. I hate Brayden. Brayden has gotten a ton of validation from Charity, and she has stuck with him through the highs and the lows. But Charity's patience is being pushed to its limits, and she is no Hannah Brown. I believe Charity's other connections will shine through, and Brayden's red flags will overwhelm whatever connection they have. I love John. While the other guys fight with each other over who is here for the right reasons, John made sure to tell Charity that he is here for her. He's 3 for 3 in makeouts, and he's even got a group date rose. I think John will continue to rise as the playoff push begins. I hate Aaron. While what he did to Brayden may have been for the greater good, it's no good for his odds. Snitching rarely gets rewarded. And while Charity has kept him around, I'm not sure his connection with her will survive rolling around in the mud with Brayden. And finally, I love Doten. Doten got taken to Charity's room for a Disney Channel approved one-on-one session. And Charity pushed for it. Doten hasn't gotten a one-on-one date yet, but that's just more reason to pick him because it's clearly coming. While most of Charity's early dates have fizzled, expect Doten to step up and make a big play for her heart. And for the first time, it's Dylan, and this has been your Fantasy Minute!
Hello, Bachelor Zone Nation. The talented Mr. Rose is out on vacation, so your rules expert, historian, and Patreon takeover host, Michael Dunn, is with you this week to help out in his place to try to work through those tough roster decisions. The field is quickly shrinking. There may not be that many weeks left to play catch-up if you find yourself looking up at the leaders of your league. So let's go. My favorite play for next week is Doten. He scooped up some good momentum this week getting the group date rose and is poised for some future success. On the opening night of episode 1 at the teaser, they showed him doing some sort of fun run race thing with Charity and crossing the finish line together. There's nothing like some exercise to get those endorphins going, hopefully to help with smoochery opportunities that are needed to get those big points. I hate Aaron next week. I'm very concerned we are headed for the dreaded 2-on-1 date with him and Brayden, given how vitriolic things are getting and how he said he plans to keep that up. Don't get me wrong, from a content standpoint, I love them, but as far as someone to start for my team, I don't want that risk in play, as many times neither individual emerges. I still have vivid memories of watching Kelsey and Ashley I sitting on different parts of that desert plateau after both were booted from the 2-on-1. I don't want to risk it. Despite his early one-on-one date, I am benching him next week. My sleeper play is Xavier. So far, we haven't seen much from him, but his knitting play seemed to go over well and get him a smooch. Seems like there's more to explore, so hopefully he can ride that positive momentum for some extended one-on-one time opportunities for fantasy points next week. And finally, until proven otherwise, I think Joey is a must-start every week. He didn't have a ton of solo time this week, but his grandfather letters were a great way to use the time he had to continue to cement his role as a must-start in your lineup. No matter what defense, no matter the weather conditions, I'm penciling him in before I figure out the rest. So those are my takes for the week. As a full disclosure item, I'm in 19th place in the Batch Live standings, so you'd probably be better off with E. Boggs' Fantasy Minute or Dahlia Hawthorne's Fantasy Minute. But I'm the substitute teacher you've got this week, so take it or leave it. Once again, my name is Michael Dunn, and this has been your Fantasy Minute.
Thank you, Dylan P., and thank you, Michael Dunn. This week's Fantasy Minutes brought to you, as always, by the Batch Live app. Think you have what it takes to out-fantasy your favorite Batch Zone pundits? Download the Batch Live app on your smartphone and join our exclusive league for free today. Coming up next, we're going to be talking all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard, gritty defense. It's Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night brought to you by Oppenheimer. Whether you love or hate Barbie, this movie is for you. So, as we said, there's some great play last night on both sides of the ball, particularly on the defensive end. Zach, let's start with you. Who gets your steal of the night for this from this week three action?
It's tough because we just kind of hashed it out, but I think I have to give it to Aaron for just staying on the defensive and not letting Braden run away with this thing. You guys are thinking it was like a Luke P thing where he's making him stronger. I reject that premise. I think Braden, yes, he did a good one-on-one date. I was begrudgingly surprised and impressed to see the level of play that guy pulled out, especially in the weird dinner date of the portion where they just put a table on Petco Park's field. But the fact that the whole second half, he could have easily had that one-on-one time where he was dancing around like, hey, someone turn on some tunes. I had a good time on the couch. Like that whole energy. He could have rode that all the way to a successful rose ceremony. And he got the yips because Aaron came in hot. Aaron came in hot with all of that energy. We can argue about it all day, and we probably will more on Left Unsaid and next week when I'm watching you guys do your first jiu-jitsu moves. But I think it was still a beautiful defensive play, and especially against a team that all these schmucks, all these bench warmers yelling about, I don't have time, I don't have time. No one's saying, can I steal you for a second? We're not seeing it whatsoever. So someone had to do something to break up the timing of everything. And he also, you could argue against those bench warmers. Aaron not only dunked on Braden and kept him on his toes, he got all those bench warmers out of here too. All those putzes, you know? Your Aaron S, who I think like our Aaron S's and these kinds of like fifth string guys, you can't tell me that he hasn't already been on the show. Aaron S has been on the show before.
There's an Aaron S every season.
We're going to talk about it Left Unsaid. There's an Aaron S. Literally Aaron S, I think, has been on the show before. All right. So yeah, it's going to Aaron.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be so hot on it when you're reading off the box score from your pickup basketball stat line next week. But he did, like it or not, Aaron did come in hot with that steal, put a lot of pressure on Braden. I think it probably secured a 2-on-1 date later on in the season, possibly even next week. And what a great date that would be. A lot of talent there and a lot at stake. DA, who gets your steal of the night for week three?
Well, for me, I feel like Braden played an almost perfect game. Despite having a lot of adversity. And yes, I feel like Aaron B went at him and gave him a tough defensive challenge. But I feel like Braden pretty much handled that. I think the even tougher defense against Braden was from the Padres mascot.
The Friar?
The Swinging yes. Friar, our headline sponsor this week.
Yes. The Friar himself, Braden, he's got a smooth mouth, but a really janky arm. And he pegged Charity right in the face, and he got no love.
Oh, that's
from
not
his hometown
Braden's
team.
Fault. Charity didn't ever glove up.
No, I don't think it's Braden's fault.
It's a very New England dad thing to say. Well, I just want to point that out.
My father did say that to me at one point. Yeah. I pulled a Charity when I was in like fourth grade or something.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I feel like, you know, there's tossing back and forth, and then, you know, when you're with the Bachelorette, you got to aim for the chest. You can't go for the face.
Fair.
You know that's a hard dink, and the Padres mascot just gave him no assistance. Just total shade, shaking his head, making him look like a total putz. When Braden needed him most. Right? When he needed a mascot to come in and give him a hug, and you know, any other fan that would have happened to, you've seen that happen all the time in sporting events where the mascot kid's crying, they come, they put a smile on their face. Nothing. Just total shame. Make him feel like an absolute douchebag. And I think if there is a lasting impact from that date in a negative way, It'll be a bruise. It'll be a bruise on Charity, a literal one. And maybe she'll look back on that and she'll think, of course this guy wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. He plunked me.
Yeah, the Friar doesn't like him.
The Friar doesn't like him even. You know, it's kind of like when you have, like, that's the thing. You know, I feel like there's two entities in this world that if you don't get their approval, you're done. Mm-hmm. It's dogs.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
And mascots.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
And especially dog mascots. Yeah.
I think if the Philly Fanatic is like, no, thank you. And yeah. Like doing some bits onto a dad, like that guy's bad.
That's
bad
juju.
He's a bad dude. Yeah.
Yeah. That's bad juju. Yeah. So dog mascots too, or famed mascots, and your hometown mascot. Anyway, to me, brutal defense. That's my steal of the night.
It'd be really funny if next week when Brady goes home, like it cuts to who's driving the Suburban and it's like the San Diego Chicken. That'd really do it for me.
Well, yeah, definitely a gold glove effort from the Swinging Friar. He tried to throw Braden out of the game. He even tried to hold hands and run away with Charity at some point. If Braden does make this Luke P like run that we're all fearful of, it certainly won't be the Swinging Friar's fault. Great effort on his part, but I gotta throw a third nominee out there, make this a three-way split, and give it to the group date activity winner. I got to give it to Sean with this classic steal to start the second half of this group date. I mean, he struck while the iron was hot. He had so much momentum on his side. And then he just swoops in there with that amazingly quick first step, gets Charity to go away with him before she even puts her drink down. And great heads up defense on his part. And it's another example to me of how soft this clubhouse is. It's not Sean's job to make sure that he doesn't hurt your feelings and that everyone gets fair time with her. It's his job to get as much quality time with Charity as he possibly can. He did his job. It is a totally clean play, clean steal. And if you're upset about him doing that, maybe stop him from doing it instead of letting him walk all over you and then crying about it later. So I think it was great defense on Sean's part. The clubhouse has no right to gripe with it. And it seemed like Charity loved the defensive aggressiveness on his part too. So we've got a three-way split over here. Help us decide. Get us at social media. Who gets your steal of the night for this pivotal week 3 in San Diego? We may be split over here, but I can tell you something. It's unanimous that people all over the world are microdosing daily to feel healthier and perform better. Do you know what microdosing is? It's that just right feeling when your body and mind are totally at peace. Like after a jiu-jitsu workout, a pickup basketball game, or the nice long hot shower that comes afterward. Whether you're relaxed, you know where you're at, where you're relaxed, focused, and a little bit energized. Microdosing helps you get into that zone easier and stay there even longer. And that's the way you want to be, right, guys?
Absolutely. And you know what? Speaking of the way you want to be, I got some exciting news for you guys.
Ooh.
Yesterday evening, I received my second degree in jiu-jitsu.
And congrats, man.
Yeah, coming on up, leveling up, getting better at it. Still a white belt, but you know, I'm going at it. Pretty soon I'll be able to take on John. But after those hard jiu-jitsu classes I've been doing, nothing feels better than microdosing a little bit and letting those muscles relax. You know, take a nice hot shower followed by a little cold compress on the old 35-year-old knees and popping one of these gummies really does it for me every time. And it'll probably do it for you guys when you have to do it when you lose that bet.
We'll see about that. Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code ZONE3 to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description. But again, that's microdose.com and code ZONE3. Mm.
So we're split over here on Steal of the Night. I have a feeling we're going to have a clean sweep coming up in our next segment. But let's find out as we hand out a key to the city that nobody wants to go to in Mayor of Choketown.
Hear ye, hear ye. I pronounce thee the Mayor of Choketown.
Mayor of Choketown brought to you by Crickets, the proud sponsor of Warwick's personality. Speaking of Warwick, really, really tough night for him. But is he going to walk away with our key to the city? DA, I'll start with you. Who gets your key?
Real quick, I just want to... Are we all in unanimous, you know, feeling that this
We're unanimous? Okay. All right, so let's do it this way. Tell me the moment that you... Or the most choke-worthy moment from Warwick's date, or the moment you knew that he had absolutely no chance.
Sure. I think that ice cream was just... pathetic. When just pick a flavor, Rocky Road, you know, strawberries
it's
and cream.
Such a softball.
Have just an opinion.
Say something, you know, like Charity nixed him. I think. I want to talk about this. When Charity reported to the men that he was let go, she said something along the lines of, she almost made it like he wasn't ready for, you know, what this. challenge entailed. I thought that it was something like that. It was more of like a not here for the right reasons type of thing, or didn't know what he was getting into, or which there's a part of me that one finds that a very kind and generous way to let him off the hook, right? That, you know, I think she could have said something much meaner.
Yeah.
But this way, you know, it's not an attack on his character. It's just, okay, he wasn't ready for it.
This isn't a firing. This is a mishire.
Right.
Yeah.
That said, I also feel like it actually should have been, this is a firing. I think it's almost disingenuous to, you know, to the not here for the right reasons, you know, line of thinking. It should be said. I think that comes from a place of strength and a place like knowing what you want and letting the guys know. I let go of Warwick because I didn't like him. I think that's okay. I think that's actually really cool. And if I almost would want to see that more from this show, be like, Warwick didn't make it because he wasn't a good fit for me. He wasn't interesting. He was boring. I'm looking for someone that keeps up with me. I'm looking for someone that I like. And how Charity kind of delivered it, it almost made it seem like Warwick, it was his choice, right? And I don't think that's true. I just don't think Warwick was up to snuff, or I don't think he was compatible. But I don't think it was his choice. I think he wasn't bachelorette material.
I totally agree, and I'll take it one step further. What I think Charity should have announced to the clubhouse is that Warwick is gone today because I'm asking for vulnerability and I'm looking for the opportunity to learn more about you guys. And he didn't give me one specific detail about himself the entire night. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, you guys, you got to show me something when I give you the opportunity. That's what she should have said.
Yeah. I agree with everything you're saying, Duddy and Wally. The thing that got me last night, and the reason I really kind of loved it and enjoyed watching it, was not in the last few years have we seen someone who has so completely expressed the fundamentals of why Choketown was founded all those years ago.
Right?
Back in the 1800s when people were crossing the plains and stumbled into Pasadena or whatever, and we're like, this is where we're going to do it. Right? The reason they did it is based on all these principles that he showed last night. And I want to take us back to where it all comes from with the definition from the Cambridge Dictionary for the slang use of the word choke. To fail to do something at a time when it is urgent, usually because you suddenly lose confidence. And I think the important thing is in the time that it is urgent, because Warwick was on the field. He got through night one. He had some good one-on-one times. Like, he wasn't completely incompetent at playing the bachelor like Charity had maybe made it sound like in her misfiring speech. But what happened was the lights came on him. And he fell apart so thoroughly and in such a beautiful way where he got tongue-tied. It almost made me think that there was some sort of doping, in the more traditional sense of the word, where, like, he might have taken a beta blocker out of being nervous and it made him sleepy and just, like, not able to perform whatsoever. Like, it felt like that was happening. Like, especially at the end when they're like, how do you feel, Warwick? And then he just fell asleep on camera. Like, I was like, is this guy just... He, like, took a Xanax to relax a little bit, and then it just backfired on him horribly because it felt like that sort of... It was such a complete and thorough choking in the fact that, like, he couldn't say anything.
That's a great point. He looked completely spent by the end of the night despite exerting zero effort into it.
Yeah. He didn't do anything. Like, and that takes a special kind of loser. It's a special kind of just like failure. It's that kind of failure of just like, I went blank. It was like an actor's nightmare or something. He showed up and he's like, I got nothing.
It's so interesting. I feel like we have four different hypotheses for why this guy choked so hard. And I'm going to quickly run down and tell me if I'm getting... So, Zach, you're saying he's on drugs.
Possibly.
I'm saying he's just a boring guy.
Yeah.
Wally's saying that he refused to be vulnerable and...
Be anything.
He refused to be anything. And Charity, I think, is saying that he didn't want to be there. And I think those are all four really distinct theories. Yeah. I think either way, it was a major choking.
I think, like, at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode, we're going to read all the tea leaves and pull the masks off and be like, oh, it was that all. Like, it was all of those all along.
Right.
Except maybe the drugs maybe is a bridge too far. But, like, I think after hearing them out loud like that, I think all of those things are true.
Yeah.
Yeah. they were all of that. The above is the bubble I'm filling in.
Yeah, he's the ghost.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, Zach, that I thoroughly enjoyed this date. I was laughing hard at it. Have never been more captivated by how boring a contestant how boring a contestant is. It's unbelievable. I mean, this is Belmont Park we're talking about. Yeah. The last time we were in this is an amusement park. This is a kid's dream to have an amusement park to yourself. It should be so high energy. The last time we were in Belmont Park for a bachelor date was a friend of the show, Elise Delbaum. And she went to the Smoocheria with Colton 8 times that date with children running around in the broad daylight.
Yeah, and they had it to themselves.
Yeah. And then Wark gets the same opportunity, same setting. And he literally puts himself to sleep. He doesn't offer one single specific about himself. He could have pled the fifth for every question that Charity asked him. Mm-hmm. And she would have known just about as much about him as she did by the end of this date.
And we pointed out at the beginning of the season that he has a compelling story, right? Like, the guy is not uninteresting on paper. Like,
the plane ticket thing, he has a great backstory.
Yeah, he has a whole lot of cool shit to talk about that he just didn't bring up at all. And that's what makes me think he was just, something happened to him that just turned his brain off, because there's plenty to talk about Belmont Park.
Yeah, he's got the face for primetime TV, but he's got the speed dating game for, I don't know, the hieroglyphics or something.
I really want to see, just as a side note, to as a requiem for him, I want to see him in Paradise after what we saw.
Really?
I want to see, they're going to see the blooper highlights and after the final rose. That'll be funny. And I hope at that moment, Jesse gives him a ticket down to Sayulita. Because I think that redemption story of him, like, talking, like, just talking and saying anything.
He's Ariel.
It's easy. It's easy, you know, free laughs. It's free. It's on the table right there for all the refs to take.
That I love that as a redemption arc. But I think if he's going to Paradise, his only role, like, I think that they could give him based on his skill set is, like, Sally's suitcase, where it just becomes more of, like, a wordless metaphor than an actual contestant.
I think what Duddy just said, like Little Mermaid, like in his opening Chiron, just have him do like the hair whip and be like, that's his story. This doesn't talk. And we need someone to pull his voice out of him.
Right.
Poor unfortunate soul.
Well, we'll see what his future is, but I can definitely tell you this, that he is in a clean sweep, our winner of Mayor Choketown for week 3. Let's talk about some of the guys who are left. We have the AP polls that came out on Tuesday morning. Let's look at the top 6 and debate who's thriving, who's merely surviving, and who's driving on the 710 with Warwick back to Pasadena. It's Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road this week brought to you by Xavier's Knitting. Finally, a scarf this season you can stand. So the AP polls are out. It's very competitive, very close race. Let's look at the top 6, the playoff picture. Start with John at number 6. Zach, I'll start with you. Is he playing for the Ring the Rose of the Road as of week 3?
I mean, he was looking a little suspect this week. Not terrible, but suspect. I kind of included him in that whole, like, Greek chorus of losers who were mad at Aaron for not giving them any time. But I don't mean to keep harping on this. He's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. That was, like, a thing that we talked about. And I think he's got some fight in him. And I think he's going to, you know, stick around. I like his energy. And I think Charity likes him enough to give him a fair shake, at least until the travel dates.
He's definitely a skilled player, and he's having a good season so far. But the more I watch him in his ISO sets, the more I feel like he's a Carmelo Anthony, where he's just too ball dominant in his style, and he doesn't make his teammates better with the way he plays. It seems like every convo that he has with Charity in the red zone, he's doing all the work, and he's not letting her get in there at all. Like, he's shouldering the entire load, and he needs to have a little bit more back and forth.
He's getting ball dominant with a big load. Got it. Your words, Wally. Your words, Wally.
Yeah, sorry to make it all NC-17 on you. But that's how I feel about him. But I mean, he's a consistent trip to the Smoochery every single week so far, so he definitely has a lot going for him. Number 5, we have Xavier. DA, is he playing for the Ring the Rose of the Road?
I think right now, I think he's playing for the road. Yeah, I feel like he's someone who had a strong connection with Charity early on. He's coasting on that. But my fear for him is that, all right, so if John's like Carmelo Anthony, then I think Xavier is like Amari Stoudemire or DeAndre Ayton, where he has all the talent, but I don't feel like he has the dog in him. I don't feel like he has the fight for it. And I feel like a lot of these other guys are making time and, you know, are making strong moves. And I just don't see that from him from right now.
So, Duddy, I just want to put you on the record here. You're, by saying this, you're also disagreeing with myself and 99.9% of Bachelor Twitter that him knitting that blanket was some straight up king shit.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, I think that was a great move. So you're right. Maybe that's a Rose move, but I don't know. I feel like it's slipping from him. Like, I feel like he didn't get the group date Rose. Mm-hmm. He didn't, you know, I think this was his week to stand up and stand out. And it's just Rose is more appropriate, but I don't feel like I have that fight in him. I'm not seeing that.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you to the extent that I don't feel like he's on that same echelon right now as, say, a Doten or a Joey. But this knitting move that he pulled, that was my favorite individual move of the night. I mean, they say show, don't tell. And he uses this 2 or 3 hour bus ride to San Diego when everyone else is complaining about how hot it is and how they can't take the helicopter and woe is me. He's sitting in the back of the bus and he's knitting that scarf for her. And he's actually, instead of just saying it to her, he's showing her how he feels about her. Not only that, but based on the preview, it looks like he's got a one-on-one date lined up for this week. I think he's going to take that scarf momentum and propel himself into the top four. And I don't think he's going to leave the top four for the rest of the season. That's the track that it seems like he's on to me. But we'll see how Jared feels about this new item in her wardrobe.
Yeah. If he comes hot with every week, he brings her a new item with all his downtime. You know what I mean? That is maybe one of the most zen badass moves you've ever seen. Like if he goes all the way to fucking Fantasy Suites, having knit like 4 or 5 items every week and just been quietly winning like that, like he might be an all-timer for me, you know?
That would be great if he just knits her a full outfit by the end of the season and the final outfit is a rose on the lapel.
Yeah, it'll be like, it's like some fucking crazy kung fu movie from the 70s, just like quietly winning everything. I love it. So unassuming and great.
As of now, he's outside of the top four, though. In that fourth spot, we've got Aaron B., who drops down a couple spots here. Zach, is Aaron B. on the heels of this move that you really liked, but a lot of people found polarizing? Is he playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I think he's still playing for the ring. I like it. I don't understand why you guys are giving such a hard time. I think he's a great player. He didn't capitalize how he should have, but I don't fault him for trying. I think the main thing, and you could see the reason Charity stormed off and was so pissed off at the idea that Aaron B. put in her head about Braden is you could see the moment he painted a picture of like Braden is saying this kind of thing when you're not around. And I know she has doubts because and for me and the San Diego Friar, I can feel it that Braden is maybe a bad dude behind closed doors. We're just kind of feeling that energy. And I think she knows that in her heart and feels it. And when Aaron comes up and says, hey, he's saying stuff like, I'm not trying to date someone who's dating 20 other guys. She can see Braden saying that just like the rest of America can, even though we didn't see it on camera. Him necessarily, they didn't cut back into black and white to him saying that right in that moment. Aaron massaged the truth a little bit, maybe, but you can see it, right? You can see him saying that. And the fact that he was able to do that and point that out, and if he can keep reminding her, like, hey, yada, yada. And then he said, I'm here for you. He didn't just say, like, I'm just a snitch. Nice to meet you. He made it about them also. He's like, I just don't want us to waste our time with these children. Right. Mm-hmm. And got the hug and a little bit of like he's been to the smoocheria a few times. Like he's not just treated most of the time when we have snitches like this that you guys are putting them in the echelon of all these other like week 2, 3 snitches who fall by the wayside and get at best get taken out in a 2-on-1 day. I don't think he's that at all. I think he's in another tier above that where he's actually utilizing it to gain his own connection and treat it like his own sort of scar tissue situation like Duddy was talking about where it's like a hurdle that they need to accomplish together. He's got her back. It's dangerously close to brother shit. You're right. Like he is courting that line closely to getting into the friend zone about like, you know, I'm here to protect you as a brother. But I think if he can stay out of that zone and keep reminding her like I'm doing all this stuff so that we can go skydiving together without having to worry about this shit, then I think he's playing for the ring. 100.
Yeah, I think at this point, Aaron is still in Charity's good graces, but it's for a different reason. Like when Aaron first sat down for that ISO set on the couch, Charity looked like she had the butterflies and was so happy to see him. And then when he dropped the snitch bomb, she had this look in her eyes like, oh, we're having this conversation. And so I think she still appreciated it. She did give him the first rose of the night after all. And I want to talk about that a little bit more on Left Unsaid. But it feels like their relationship is different now. And it seems like he and Brayden are on this crash course heading for a 2-on-1 date. Speaking of Brayden, he's number 3 in the polls this week. DA, do you think he's playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I think right now he's playing for the rose. I think I love so many aspects of his game. He's a rare two-way player in a real sense. He gets into the guy's heads defensively. And I think, you know, there's a way to look at this. Probably Aaron B will outlast Brayden. But if Brayden were to outlast Aaron B, I think we'd look at this as a masterful move. Because I think ultimately Brayden, you know, forcing these guys into snitcherdom is what is going to lead to their demise more so than his. On the offensive end, I think he's fantastic at getting in the smoocheria, establishing a connection with Charity, and swatting away any type of defense that comes his way. He's really well spoken when it comes to explaining the chair. That was actually an amazing move that he did, where he flipped it on Aaron. He went to Charity and said, actually, I think if these guys are talking about engagement, they're not thinking about it seriously. Mm-hmm. Because this is something that's very, you know, that takes a lot of thought. And if they're already sold by week 3, then they're not putting a lot of thought into it. And Charity bought that, and I think America probably would buy that.
Yeah, I was game recognized game at that moment. I was like, he played a hell of a defense, keeping alive with that. Yeah,
I think that was pretty good. The only reason I can't give him the ring is because, you know, if this was a Greek tragedy, we'd see what was coming from. You know, mm-hmm. the ratings on the wall, the previews are in the post credits. You know, we know this type of play can't last forever. He's going to get his eyes gouged out and those earrings pulled in some way, metaphorically or literally, eventually. But, you know, if I were coaching him and we couldn't see the future quite so clearly, I would say, hey, you're in a great position. The clubhouse might even be on your side a little bit. Foster that. You played the villain card early. You got to make the switch. Now's the turn. And if you can make that turn, you can win this thing.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating for Brayden that this is the second week in a row where he couldn't make the thin ice that he's standing on any thicker. And especially since he's coming off of a very successful 1-on-1 date. But with that being said, he's at his very best when his back is against the wall. When Charity didn't love everything that he was saying during that date at Petco Park, and he pulled out that baseball and wrote on it, I'm going to try, and left it for her to put on her mantle. I was like, man, this guy is really good. And he knows exactly what to do when the chips are down. And I think that's going to serve him really well if he does end up in a 2-on-1 situation with Aaron B. Number 2 in the polls, we have Joey. Zach, is he playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
Oh, Joey's playing for the ring 100%. We've hashed a lot about the drama that happened this last week and Brayden, Aaron's battle and all the losers and the, you know, captain or the governor of Choketown now in perpetuity, Warwick. And Joey's just quietly winning. You know what I mean? He reminds me of some past competitors that just kind of keep on rolling no matter what. And it doesn't really matter what happens around him. He's just going to be chill and happy and being a sweetie pie in his 1-on-1 time. You know what I mean? Like, and I think Charity can feel that. And the more tumultuous things get around it, if he can keep in that lane, this guy's going to coast to fantasy suites.
Yeah, speaking of great speed dating moves, I love the move that he pulled with pulling out his letters from his grandpa. It was a very sweet moment. Charity loved it. He's a smart player. He knows exactly what he's doing. Charity seems to be eating it up, definitely playing for the ring. Only one person ahead of him in the polls, and that is Doten. DA, I'll give you the last word on Doten. Is he playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
Yeah, absolutely he's playing for the ring. I think it's incredible that he hasn't had a 1-on-1 yet, and he's number 1 in the polls. And what I love so much about his game is that he's doing it in a way, it's all pure gameplay. It's all actually earned runs, right? It's not any unforced errors by other players. It's like, for example, if we look at a Katy Thurston season, you know, you see a Greg Grippo pull ahead, and that's just infatuation, right? That's just Katy Thurston took one look at that guy and said, this is my winner.
Yeah.
But Greg barely wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Doan wants to be there.
Yeah.
And I don't think Charity is infatuated with him. I think Doan has just made a compelling case that he should be the number one guy. And I think once he gets that one-on-one and once he's able to build the infatuation, I think he's going to really pull ahead.
Yeah, I can see it. I'm Doan over Doan also.
Yeah, the more time that Charity gives him, the more comfortable he seems to become. And the more that he's getting into his comfort zone, the more dangerous he is. And he's definitely the kind of player who could walk away with a ring at the end of this. And you know who else is playing for the ring? Our wonderful fans. Thank you so much for checking us out every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. We're there waiting for you. We love it when you join. Thanks so much for rating us, reviewing us, telling your friends about us, upvoting us on Reddit, whatever you do to get the word out there about us. It helps us grow and move up in the world of Bachelor Podcasts, makes us a better show, and we really can't thank you enough for it. Very special thanks to Hannah, who joins our list of beloved patrons over at patreon.com. That's where you get all our exclusive Bachelor Zone content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to talk about on the main feed. So that's patreon.com/The Bachelor Zone. We always love hearing from you on social media or over email. On Instagram and TikTok, our handle is @BachelorZonePod. And by email, we are thebachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com. Holler at us anytime. And finally, the moment you've all been waiting for, the top five on the Batch Live app. It's really heating up over there. A lot of points were put on the board last week. Huge mix-up over there. Number five, we've got Reganati with 885 points. Number four, yours truly, coming in at just over 900 with 905. E. Boggs just ahead of me in the number three spot with 910. Number two, the talented Mr. Rosé. He may be out of town, but he's still piling up the points on the Batch Live app. He's got 935 points. And the quest for a repeat championship continues with Dahlia Hawthorne way out in front with 980 points right now, but there's still a lot of time left in the season, a lot of points to come. Who's going to walk away with this free t-shirt from the Bachelor Zone? Find out over on the Batch Live app on your smartphone. Can't wait to have you join us over there and to join us next week. I'm not sure where we're headed geographically, but it's going to be a great week for, it'll be a lot of fun. And we'll see you then, and we're looking forward to it. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.